The Holy Gospel. Page 105 in the New Testament section of the Church Bible. 105. The Holy Gospel is written in the 9th chapter of the Gospel according to John, beginning at the first verse. As he walked along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that God's works might be manifest in him. We must work the work of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made mud with the saliva and spread the mud on the man's eyes, saying to him, "Go, wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. Then he went and washed and came back able to see. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar began to ask, "Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" And some were saying, "It is he." Others were saying, "No, but it is someone like him." He kept saying, "I am the man." But they kept asking him, "Then how were your eyes opened?" He answered them, "The man called Jesus made mud, spread it on my eyes, and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' And I went and washed and received my sight." They said to him, "Where is he?" And he said, "I do not know." O gracious God, make your word plain and clear and meaningful to us, and bless us in what you have written for our learning, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. You've heard of a ladder. This ladder has four rungs. It's a sort of magic ladder, because when you turn it on your side, on its side, the four rungs become a four-line railway track. Now, you never heard of a four-line railway track, did you? Neither did I. But there's no reason why railway tracks shouldn't have four lines. By convention, they run on two. And if Brunel had had his way, they'd be much wider than they are now, wider apart. So why not have a four-line railway track? Right, well, we've got one this morning, and I'll try to explain it to you. You see, this man born blind, he really started with no idea who Jesus was. And the four-rung ladder are the steps he climbed, 1, 2, 3, 4, into the full knowledge of Jesus that he entered with. Let me show you the four rungs. Just sit there and listen, or you can look at them in your Bible if you want. They're all in John chapter 9. It would be best to look, because you want to be certain that I'm not making it up. If I can talk to you about four rung ladders that become four-track railway lines, I'm capable of anything. Here are the four rungs of the ladder that the man climbed. They said to him, verse 10, "How were your eyes opened?" And he said, "The man called Jesus." That was all he knew about the Lord Jesus Christ. The man called Jesus. And so he climbed onto the first rung of his ladder. Now, this miracle was so remarkable that as the story goes on, sadly we didn't read the whole story, as the story goes on, they brought him to the Pharisees to see what they might think about him. And they said to him, "What do you say about the man who opened your eyes?" And he climbed onto the second rung of his ladder. He said in verse 17, "He is a prophet." Something more about this remarkable Jesus. What was he first? The man. What was he next? A prophet. You see, he's going up his ladder. Well, they didn't stop this inquiry into the miracle that had happened, though actually they weren't concerned about the miracle. Sadly, what concerned them was that it was done on the Sabbath day. Now, that did not break any rule in Scripture. It only broke a man-made rule, but that meant more to them than anything in the Bible, and that is very sad when church leaders depart from the Bible. But the Pharisees were still going on about the miracle happening on the Sabbath day, and they were worrying about the breach in their traditional way of looking at things. So they asked the man again, "What was it that happened to you?" And he's waxing much more bold. He said in verse 30, "Now here is an astonishing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes." We know that God does not listen to sinners. Well, happily, that's not true, put like that. Happily, he does listen to sinners, which is why you and I pray to him when we come together on a Thursday. Happily, he does. But we're not responsible for what the man thought. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but he does listen to one who worships him and obeys his will. Verse 32, "Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a person born blind." If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. That's the third rung of his ladder. Who opened your eyes? The man, Jesus. Can you tell us anything more about the man? He's a prophet. What else? He must be from God. So we're on rung number 3. And here's rung number 4. Verse 35. Jesus heard that they had driven him out, and when he found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" That's a name for the royal divine Messiah, the Son of Man, capital S, capital M. "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered, "Who is he, sir? So that I may believe in him." Jesus said, "You have seen him, and the one speaking to you is he." And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. And he got to the top rung of his ladder. The Son of Man, the royal, divine Messiah, God's appointed King, the King who is also God, the Son of Man. And he worshipped him. Do you see? Four-rung ladder. It's an accurate way of putting it, isn't it? First rung, the man, Christ Jesus, the man Jesus. Second rung, a prophet. Third rung, a man from God. Fourth rung, the royal, divine Messiah, the object of worship. You got those four in mind? Here they are again. The man, the prophet, the man from God, the divine Messiah. He climbed into that full knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. He began nowhere, and Jesus gave him a ladder, and he climbed it. Who opened your eyes? The man called Jesus. Who is this man called Jesus? He is a prophet. What sort of prophet is he? A man from God. So who is he really? He's the royal divine Messiah. He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is God himself come down to save, the Messiah. So why do I ask you to turn the ladder on its side, lay it on the ground, and watch the four rungs become the four tracks of a railway line? Because those four rungs of the ladder are the four rails on which we make our journey with Jesus and the Bible. To know him better as the man Jesus. To know in what sense and why he is a prophet. To see him as the one come from God. And to worship him as the royal divine Messiah. That's you and me, day by day, day after day, moving along on these four lines, not climbing from one to the other, but holding them all together as the way we make our pilgrim journey. How lovely, isn't it, a pilgrim journey? I'm not one for sandals and a staff and that sort of pilgrimage. No. A pilgrimage by train, yeah. That'll suit me nicely. My train runs on four tracks. Day by day, I want to know more clearly, more fully, the man Jesus, the prophet Jesus, how he came from God, and how he is the one to worship. The four lines of our track. The man Jesus. That's why we have four Gospels in our Bible. Did you notice that we have four Gospels and only one of everything else? Now, why would that be? Because there's something four times more important than anything else. To come face to face with Jesus. To join him as he walked in Galilee. To go step by step with him as he made his way to Jerusalem. To watch him as he suffered and died. Something four times more important than anything else. The man Jesus. Isn't it in one of the choruses we sing? To see thee more clearly. And that leads on to love thee more dearly. How can we love someone we don't know? How can we know someone that we don't see clearly? to see thee more clearly. That's what the four Gospels are all about. Would you like to plan your daily Bible reading, taking that into account? As God put his Bible together, he gave us four Gospels, because something is four times more important, to come face to face with Jesus. And we can't open the Gospels at any page, but there he is. When I read John 9 to you this morning, I didn't make any change. It says, as he walked along. I didn't change that to Jesus. Who else could he be in the Gospels? We meet him at every page, at every hand's turn. Plan your daily Bible reading so that it always contains something from the Gospels. You'll have your plan of Bible reading, which you may do either in the morning or maybe in the evening if you're not too sleepy. So what about elevenses? A few verses from the Gospels. Something from the Gospels every day. The man, Jesus. The prophet, Jesus. That is to say, he really is the Word of God. He comes to bring us the full, final, and complete revelation of God. And in that, the Gospels play their part. But there's an old way of looking at the whole Bible. The Old Testament is Jesus expected. The Gospels are Jesus arrived. The Acts is Jesus preached. The Epistles are Jesus explained. And the Book of Revelation is Jesus coming again. I go along with that. I find that's a very satisfactory way of looking at the Bible. And indeed, that's the way Jesus handed the Bible back to us, because he identified with the Old Testament, as we call it. He didn't have to. He chose to. He made himself the fulfillment of all the great Old Testament predictions. And he called the Old Testament the Word of God. And he looked forward into the New Testament. He said to his apostles, the Holy Spirit will bring back to your memory all that I said to you. And he validated the New Testament in advance as the authorized statement about him. Jesus is the Word of God, and the Bible is the Word of God. The two belong together. The third rail on which we're running and trying to advance in our pilgrimage is that he's the man from God. And the man who had been blind, he linked that view of Jesus with the wonder that he had experienced. No one can do the remarkable things that he is doing except God be with him. The man from God is the one who can deal with our problems. The one to whom we can bring our blindness. The one to whom we can bring our sickness. The one who can bring our fears. Whatever. He's been sent from God, and therefore he is able to work wonders. So if the first two rails of our journey are very, very particularly linked with the Bible, to read the Gospels and come face to face with Jesus, to read our Bibles and learn from him the Word of God, this rail is particularly related to our prayers. He is the one who can perform wonders, so let's bring all our needs to him. He'll deal with this one way or another. He won't leave us unhelped. He won't desert us in our hour of need. He may do something we don't expect, but that's up to him. You remember at the wedding in Cana of Galilee, when they ran out of wine, and the mother of Jesus said to the servants, "Whatever he says to you, do it." And Jesus told them to fill water pots with water. He always goes about things in his own way, so he may not do what you expect or what I would desire, but do something he will. And when they found that they had 180 gallons of the very best wine that anybody ever tasted, wasn't it worth going Jesus' way and letting him do things as he wanted, wasn't it? Now he's the one sent from God, and that's why he can do remarkable things. And that's related to our prayers, day by day, to bring to him all our needs. And then there's that lovely and wondrous fourth rail. He is actually the Son of Man. He is the Messiah. He is the Divine One. He is the King on the throne. So worship him. Give him your heart's devotion. Hold nothing back from him. Tell him that you are wholly his. Pass yourself over into his care and keeping. I must tell you this. I hadn't planned to, but it's just come back into my mind. It's never been my way to be able to say, "The Lord said to me." You know, you've met people who say, "The Lord said to me, the Lord said to me." That's never been my way. I'm very rarely able to say that, but once it happened very dramatically. We were living in Bournemouth at the time, and I was praying about some person in church who had a big problem. In fact, the problem was so big that I can't remember now what it was, so there you are. But I was praying about it, and I think I must have been praying out loud, because I ended my prayer by saying, "Well, there it is, Lord, I can't do anything about it, I'll have to leave it to you." And the Lord said to me, "No one better. I'll have to leave it to you. No one better." And we come to him with our prayers and our worship. We give him all our needs, and we give him all our hearts. Have a happy day on your railway.